As a church, we make our way through different books of the Bible, different stories. And at the moment, as a church, we're looking at a book in the Bible called Acts. And it's a history, a summary of what happened after Jesus had died and resurrected, went back to heaven. So it's what comes after the first Easter story. And we've reached a bit in the story where lots of people are becoming Christians. Lots of people are seeing the truth about Jesus, perhaps having never thought about him before. Lots of people are following him. But then we see about how Christians are persecuted, about how people don't like that people are following Jesus. They persecute the church. Today we've heard stories from Kath and Jamie and Bethany and Ben about what it means to them to know that God loves them and the difference that it's made to their lives for them to be following God. Many of you will be able to say the same in your own life, and some of you will really not be sure about whether you can or want to believe any of it at all. If you don't believe in Jesus and have come just to support your friend or someone in your family today, then thank you. You being here today means a lot to them. But not everyone in this book of Acts in the Bible would have been so supportive of Christians either. People didn't believe. People persecuted them, chased them, wanted them arrested or beaten or even to lose their life for following Jesus. We get to a bit in the story in Acts chapter 9, and I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to share a little bit about what it's about. It'll be about 10 minutes, all right? So don't worry too much, okay? Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to go to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. It says that Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. And the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen person to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house. He entered it, placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. We've heard today from 4 people, each telling their own story. We've heard from 2 teenagers who have perhaps always known about God, but can remember a time in their life where they came to know God, placing their trust in him and choosing to follow him for themselves, and how they can testify to the impact that God has made upon their lives. We've heard from Kath and her desire to obey God, having known the power of God's love in her life. And we've heard from Jamie, a dramatic change in his life. He wasn't looking for God. That's the best introduction to a testimony I've ever heard. I was standing in my shed smoking a spliff and then I saw Jesus. He wasn't looking for God, but God interrupted his life. God saved him and wonderfully changed his desires and has changed his life. We've heard and read from the Bible about a man called Saul who was breathing murderous threats. I imagine him scowling. Do you ever see, and it's normally old men who chunter away under their breath. Do you see that? I'm looking at my dad. I imagine him kind of scowling, just kind of muttering and grumbling along to himself. I imagine him shouting so that as many people as possible could hear. He is the definition of someone who is not looking for Jesus, not looking for faith, thinks that the whole thing is a load of rubbish. He is not looking for God to change his life any one bit because he's convinced that he knows everything and he's right about everything. He's on his way to Damascus. He has letters that allow him to arrest people who are following the way. Now, Jesus, when he was alive, described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He described himself as being the only way to God the Father. So Saul is basically looking for people who are following Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to get to the Father in heaven. He's heading to Damascus, full of hatred in his heart against God's people, with signed permission to arrest Christians, and then dramatically, extraordinarily, powerfully, everything changes in his life. He wasn't expecting it, he wasn't looking for it, but in one moment, his life was changed forever. If you are not following Jesus, if you are not looking at Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, if you are likely here perhaps supporting someone that just is, hoping that you won't get bored or think the whole thing's just a bit weird, maybe you're not looking for God or expecting God to do anything in your life at all. But neither was Saul. And perhaps from his own mouth, neither was Jamie either. But God interrupted. God interrupted his life, for God has other ideas, better ideas, a better plan and a purpose for your life. He wants to save you. He wants to save you from poor choices. He wants to save you from following a wrong path for your life, for he has better things for you. He loves you more than you can know, more than you can possibly imagine, and he has better for you, and he wants better for you. Whether or not you believe in God or not has no impact whatsoever over his reality. Not believing in God doesn't stop him being real. Likewise, it doesn't matter if you give no thought whatsoever to God, it doesn't stop him loving you. You may turn your back to God, give him the thumbs up, do whatever you want. He won't stop God from looking at you. He won't stop God from loving you. He won't stop him from wanting the very best for you. God loves you regardless of whether you love him back. He sent Jesus, his one and only son, to die for you no matter how much you ignore him or hate him. He sent his son to die for you because he loves you and he wants you. Does anyone know what your erector pili muscles are? Anyone know? I Googled this week, quite random. I was looking for an illustration. And then I heard it on the radio, on Radio 2 this morning. There are tiny muscles at the base of the hair follicles. So, you know, when you get goosebumps and your hair stick up, it's caused by a little muscle called the erector pili muscle. It contracts in response to cold or fear, and it causes goosebumps. I didn't know about them until about Wednesday afternoon. You didn't know about them until about 30 seconds ago, but it doesn't mean they don't exist. You have them all over your body, but you were just paying them no attention. You didn't know anything about them. You certainly didn't know their name. But it doesn't stop them existing, and it doesn't stop them having an impact upon your life. You may not want to acknowledge the presence of God, but it doesn't stop him being real. It doesn't stop him wanting to have a desire and an impact upon your life. You might not acknowledge the existence of God, let alone his love for you, or the fact that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. You might not believe it at all, but it doesn't stop it from being true just because you don't know about it. Saul was convinced it wasn't true. Saul was convinced it was dangerous for his people. But yet it suddenly became very real to him. It changed his desires on that road to Damascus. It changed the pattern of his life forever, for God interrupted him. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't acknowledge Jesus, I am praying that he interrupts your life and puts all the lights on, that you can see what our four friends have seen and put their trust in. If your friend is a Christian and wonder why they think and behave and respond to things as they do, this is likely why. For God has changed their life. He's changed the desires and the process of their life. He's changed the pattern of their future, the things that they want and long for. We read in verse 3 that lights flashed all around Saul. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice. Verse 7 also told us that the people that were traveling with him, they heard a noise. but they didn't see anyone. And presumably, even though they heard a noise, it was just a noise. They didn't hear the words. They were in the same place at the same time, but having very different experiences. It's possible today that you begin to see that Jesus is real. That what you have denied is real and powerful and completely transformative over our lives. But maybe still possible that the people that you came with still don't see it. God wants us to see him. God wants us to hear him and acknowledge him. God wants us to give our lives to him. God is also talking to a man called Ananias in Damascus. He's telling him to go and meet Saul and to pray for him. Ananias, he's understandably worried. He's thinking, that guy has come here to kill me. What on earth would I want to go anywhere near him? He's heard about Saul, heard about his reputation. But God assures him that everything is going to be okay. Two quick things. One, everyone knew about Saul. Everyone knew his reputation. He was a bad man with a history to be scared of. But God wasn't put off by that. God loves us all. No matter our reputation, no matter our past, no matter our history, God isn't put off by the things that we have done. Just God isn't put off by how bad we think we've been. Second, God tells Ananias that he has a purpose for Saul. I love that. God has a purpose for each of us, for all of us, including you. The life that God had for Saul was not the one that he expected. It was not the one that he was looking for, but the life that he had for him was incredible. So where are you? Where are you? You following Jesus? Denying Jesus? Or just simply ignoring him? For God is real whether you believe it or not. God sent Jesus to die for you whether you see it or not. He took the punishment for the sins of the world and so that we could all be forgiven. And he did this because he loves us. He did it because he loves you. You might not believe it. You might not acknowledge it. You might not surrender your life to that. But maybe there are a few lights coming on. And the reality of it all is staring you in the face for the very first time in your life. That God has a better plan for your life. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, that he has come to give us life and life in all of its fullness. But to acknowledge that, to benefit from that, to see that and to feel that in our lives, we've got to be prepared to be interrupted, to surrender our lives, to allow our desires to be changed. You have seen today four people do something quite extraordinary. Perhaps something that you have never seen happen before, and maybe something that you'd never imagined that you'd be sat in a church watching. But why? Well, God put all the lights on in their life too. They saw, they believed, they surrendered, and they are feeling the blessing of God on their lives. Somebody talked about friendship. Someone talked about desires that have been changed. Someone talked about peace and assurance. Someone talked about knowing God's help in kind of going through exam season of their lives. They're feeling the blessing of knowing God in their lives. And they want you to know that God has the same for you too. Are you ready to acknowledge him? Are you ready to trust him? I said I'd be 10 minutes. I was 12. So please forgive me. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing just one song as we close. We're going to sing Amazing Grace as we finish. And after we've sung that, there'll be a chance to grab a tea and a coffee, and there's loads of cakes out in the back. Nobody wants to take them home, so please go and eat them at the end and get a hot drink together. If you, there'll be lots of people, I'm sure, that maybe you will see and know and you want to go and talk to, so go and do that, please, when we finish. But if you want to come and talk to me and say, Steve, do you know what? I've been ignoring the reality of this, never having thought about this before. I'd like to talk a bit more about who this Jesus is, about what he might want for my life. Then please do come and find me. I'll be eating cake in the corner. All right, let me pray. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for Kath, for Jamie, for Bethany, and for Ben, Lord. I thank you for what you have done in their lives. I thank you that you have saved them through the Lord Jesus. I thank you that they have appreciated and experienced and acknowledged your love in their lives. That they've asked you to forgive them of their past, of all of their mistakes, past, present, and future. That they have known the blessing of your grace upon their lives, Lord. But Lord, I thank you that what we have heard from them is not just for them, but it's for all of us. whether we've come in here perhaps living our lives thinking that you don't exist, thinking that you might exist, but we don't like you. Lord, I thank you that you are real. And that no matter what we think about you, you love us. You love us so much. You sent your son to die for us. Lord, I pray that we would open our eyes, that we would see you, that by your Holy Spirit, you put all the lights on in our lives, that we would see our need of you, see the provision of you, that we would confess of our own sin to you and know the power and the grace and the wonder of forgiveness in our hearts, that we would let you surrender, we would surrender our lives to you, let you lead us, change our desires, that we may live for you and walk with you always. Amen.